33. After they finished photographing the walls in 16, Zila headed down to Roger's apartment and promised the others she'd have all the photos set up soon. Tim announced it was too late for an old man to be up and headed back upstairs.
"Just you and me, Velma," Nate told Veek.
She shook her head.
"Just you, Scooby. I'm still exhausted from last night and I've got another project I need to work on."
"Seriously?"
"Yep."
"You must be raking in the cash with all this extra work."
She drummed her fingers on the doorframe.
"I lose a lot of it to taxes," she said after a moment.
Nate looked at her. "You freaked out when Tim asked about your computer just like you did when we first met and I asked about it."
"Speaking of freaking out, what happened in your kitchen?"
He smirked, a pathetic attempt to change the subject.
"Your eyes bugged when you saw those words on your wall."
"You didn't think it was weird?"
"Weird, yeah,"
she said.
"But in this place, not weird enough to make you go all wide-eyed like Andrew."
Nate twisted his lips in thought. "Okay," he said. "This is going to sound crazy, but I think I dreamed about it." She smirked.
"What?"
"I had this dream with you and Zila. Typical man, not like that.
Did we have clothes on?"
He paused and debated.
"You did. Should I be relieved or insulted?"
"Hey, if you want to hang out naked, I'm sure I'll picture you that way too.
Don't count on it."
"Anyway," he said. "Zila's hair was green, not blue, and she told me to look at it under the blacklight. She said it would look different." He shrugged. "And then I came home and we found all this stuff under the blacklight."
"Sounds sort of thin," Veek said after a moment.
"What?" She shrugged. "You don't think it means something that I have a dream about how things look under blacklight and then 6 hours later we find a message that's hidden except under blacklight?" Veek shrugged again.
"You also dreamed about your hot neighbor naked. What's the meaning there?"
"You're a lot more focused on that than I am."
"Yeah, so you say. Know what else?"
"What?"
"This blows your whole no dreams idea out of the water."
Nate considered it. "No," he said. "It's just a new twist. I had the dream at work. I still haven't had a dream here." Veek rolled her tongue across her teeth. It made her lips ripple.
"You really think something about this place keeps people from dreaming?"
"Maybe."
"Again, it'd have more credibility without all the skin.
Are you jealous or something?"
"You wish," she said. "What are we doing this weekend, investigation-wise?"
He glanced down the hall. "Maybe we should lay low this weekend to give Oscar some time to cool down.
We can all meet up to talk, but we probably shouldn't do anything, you know?"
She nodded.
"Sounds good. I might not have a lot of time anyway."
"Okay." Veek tipped her head back at her door.
"I've got to get to work. Maybe I'll see you on the roof tomorrow for Friday sunset."
"Is that what we're calling it now?"
"That's what I'm calling it. Good night, Nate."
"Night, Veek." 5 minutes later, Nate was alone in his apartment. Not entirely alone. There were two big math equations on the wall, equations he'd helped save from Oscar's uncaring maintenance. He looked at the numbers painted above his computer. He still had no idea what they meant. It was like staring at a wall of Arabic or Japanese. There was something there, something people had written down for a reason. He just needed to learn what that reason was. He went to the kitchen and looked at the gleaming paragraphs over the sink. There was no doubt in his mind, it was a message. Not necessarily for him personally, but someone like him, someone who would unravel all the mysteries of this place. It had been a long time since Nate felt excited by anything. His life had been such a dull, repetitive echo of life that he'd forgotten what it was like when things were bright and interesting and new. Stupid as it sounded, he felt alive.
"Anne was making a pass at me," he realized.
Nate stared at the glittering words in his kitchen for another moment. Four paragraphs of light, frozen on the bare plaster. Then he turned and reached for the switch, and froze. Just for a moment on the far side of the apartment, he'd seen a flicker on the wall facing the kitchen. It was in the space next to his desk, on the wall that didn't have any math on it. Nate stepped out of the door, but the flickering shadow didn't return. He glanced up at the bulb, the long-life white bulb, to make sure it was still working. All the words in the kitchen were still there. He looked at the far wall again, then drew a line back and forth with his eyes. The space where he'd seen the shadow was just too high. The bulb couldn't shine on it.
He looked around for a moment and his gaze dropped. His white shirt had acted as a reflector, a weak one, but enough for him to glimpse another secret.
Damn lucky, he thought.
The crowd in the kitchen earlier had blocked all the light.
Whatever was on that wall would have been painted over and none of them ever would have known they missed a clue. He leaned back and tried to angle his stomach in a way that would bounce the ultraviolet rays across the apartment. The bare plaster shimmered, not enough to read, but he could glimpse lines and patterns. Nate looked around the kitchen for something reflective to shine the light across the apartment. He checked the living room. One of Zila's foam core sheets leaned against a bookshelf. He carried it back to the kitchen and stood under the blacklight. He angled the white panel at the far wall. The plaster rippled as the ultraviolet rays washed over it and revealed a set of thick, messy lines. A moment later, his mind turned the lines into words. They have found us.